The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. It's Hugh Hewitt. Studying numbers as I come to you on the Thursday before the election with good news. The Senate Republicans are closing the gap everywhere. David Perdue crushed John Ossoff last night in a televised debate. Now, I don't know how many people are still up for grabs. I think David Perdue is up 5 in the WSB TV most recent election. But let me run down the numbers. Let me also tell you, I'm giving you the best number that I can find in the recent past. I think it's the longest one is 8 days away, but some polls don't come out very often. The best number and a little commentary on each. In the national race, in the battleground poll, Trafalgar has Joe Biden up 3.2% over Donald Trump. 3 days ago, Trafalgar had Donald Trump ahead by 2. So clearly we have volatility in the poll that did best the last time around. You've got to get out and vote. KeepAmericaAmerica.com will tell you where. We have early voting underway as we speak, and I think most of the places it only goes through Saturday. But early voting is critical. I've been looking at John Ralston's numbers from Nevada. It's extraordinary how many people are voting early. But in Arizona, where Martha McSally is running, Georgia, where David Perdue is running, Michigan, where John James is running, Minnesota, where Jason Lewis is running, Ohio, where I can't believe Ohio's in play, but Ohio needs your vote. You got to get out there and vote. KeepAmericaAmerica.com will tell you how to do that, where to go, and how to help someone also get out the vote. It's the largest get out the vote effort on the conservative side ever. What right now, commit to take yourself and one person to the polls. Do a little or do a lot. Go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Let me run down the other numbers. Tom Cotton is underperforming. He's on a little bit later today, and he's only up 55 points in Arizona. It's Tom Cotton, 75, and whoever he's running against, 20. So I think we've got to get on the senator's case a little bit. John Cornyn is up 10 points in Texas. Mitch McConnell is up 9 points in Kentucky. And I believe these polls overweight Democrats. I always believe that, so I think you can always add in 2 or 3. In Kentucky, they were off 5 years ago for Mitch Matt Bevin by, I think, 11 points. I can't recall. But those three are in the bag, those four, Cotton, Cornyn, and McConnell, as well as Dr. Marshall in Kansas, Congressman Marshall, now up 4. And I believe they're undercounting there as well. Now, let me go through the one. And Lindsey Graham is up 8 in South Carolina. Now, South Carolina, don't get complacent. You're a deep red state. You're a great state. You've got great governors, great senators, Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham, but don't get complacent. Let's put it away and put it away a lot. One thing, it will sting. The Democrats have spent more than, I think it's $150 million now against Lindsey Graham. And they're just trying to buy a seat. That's happening in a few places like Maine, which I'll come to in a second. But get out there and vote, South Carolina, for Lindsey Graham. He's a great judiciary chairman. He got Justice Barrett onto the court in record time. In a fair and full process that no one can complain about. I mean, they'll complain about it, but not fairly. Lindsey Graham up by 8. Now, let me run down the close ones. Jason Lewis in Minnesota is down by 1 in a Survey USA poll a week ago. So, Minnesota, get out and vote. Susan Collins is down by 4 in a Colby College vote, but she has won every debate, and she had a great debate last night. I mean, Sarah Gideon, who she is running against, was a legislative leader in Maine, and was presented with a very serious allegation of one member of her caucus preying on young girls. And she didn't do anything. And Susan Collins called her on it last night. And here is Sarah Gideon going, abba dabba dabba, cut 16.
So, Ms. Gideon, why didn't you push for the ethics investigation or take other action as soon as you learned about the allegations? Why did you wait until the information became public? You have 1 minute to respond.
Thank you. So, you know, I want to start by saying that I think that these commercials and these allegations just show exactly how much Susan Collins has changed and that she will do anything to stay in Washington. Look, I take the issue of children staying safe and sexual predation incredibly seriously. I have a 16 and 17-year-old boy at home and a 13-year-old girl at home. And I have spent my legislative time making sure that I am keeping children safe as well. Now, here are the facts. When there was an allegation that came forward, and it was anonymous still, I did immediately call on the state representative to resign. And I find it ironic that Senator Collins and her allies, dark money allies, continue to bring this forward when she has defended people like Brett Kavanaugh and President Donald Trump.
What's remarkable, she didn't answer. Why did she not get an investigation going for it? Why did she not? She said she called on the legislator to resign. That was after it was made public. So she failed on that. Then comes up the most important issue facing the United States Senate if the radical left has its way. And Sarah Gideon will be a Chuck Schumer puppet. Cut number 17. It is Sarah Gideon responding and Susan Collins on whether or not they will pack the Supreme Court.
Do you think the number of justices on the Supreme Court should change? Speaker Gideon, to you first.
Any proposal to change what the Supreme Court looks like, I will evaluate through this lens. Does it help us restore an independent judiciary? Right now, as I see the proposals come forward, I just see an argument between Democrats and Republicans that doesn't get us there.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, I'll give you a straightforward answer and not beat around the bush. The answer is I do not support increasing the size of the Supreme Court. As Ruth Bader Ginsburg says, 9 is a good number, and that's the number it's been since 1869.
Okay.
We should not pack the court.
Thank you.
Bingo! Susan Collins is such a great senator. And by the way, she voted against Amy Coney Barrett because she didn't want the vote to occur before the election. And Maine, you're listening to me, Maine. I'm going to say this a lot. You cannot not vote for the most effective senator in the United States Senate, Susan Collins. Now, David Perdue last night just took John Ossoff, the youngster, to the cleaners because John Ossoff has been taking, you got it, Chinese money. Cut number 18.
Responsibility. Clearly, China was responsible for this. And we've learned a lot about the virus, who's most vulnerable, what we need to do to protect them, and so forth. But what we have to do is hold China accountable. And John Ossoff will not be the one to do that. Because in the last 2 years, he's actually been working for a company owned by the communist Chinese government. And yet in the last debate, he denied that. So the question tonight is, moving forward, instead of...
Okay, cut number 19. David Perdue drills down.
Did you work for that Chinese communist company? PCCW is a media company in Hong Kong that's owned by China Unicom and owned by the Chinese government. So the question is, for the last 2 years, he's been working on. That's on top of working for Al Jazeera for the last decade.
Mr. Ossoff, I'll let you answer that, and then we'll move on to the next question.
As I predicted, Senator Perdue doesn't want to talk about COVID-19, a pandemic that has killed nearly a quarter of a million Americans. He is going to spend this entire debate deflecting from a substantive conversation about the most serious public health crisis in generations. He will launch false attacks. He'll make outlandish allegations. He'll repeat the same 6 words over and over and over again because it's what his handlers in Washington have trained him to do, to evade responsibility and avoid a substantive discussion of where we go forward now to contain this virus. And here's the answer. We put the medical experts and public health experts in charge, not failed and disgraced politicians like
David
Perdue.
Thank you for your time. We're going to move on to the next question.
I think I get a response. He named me in that answer.
Very quickly.
Well, again, he talks about taking responsibility, but he won't do that. He misled the people of Georgia in the primary. This is really important here because it goes to trust and judgment. If you want somebody to represent you in the United States Senate, you better hope they have good judgment and that you can trust them. He misled everybody in the primary. He then refiled after the primary was over and has now told the legal document that he filed says that he indeed worked for that company, even though before, in our last debate, he said he did not. And if that's confusing, go to my website, PurdueSenate.com, and you'll get that cleared up, and you'll see why he's not wanting to answer the question and why he won't take his own advice about taking responsibility.
Cut number 20, David Perdue brings down the hammer.
But I'm here to tell you that there is a document, and I have it right here. This is his July filing where he disclosed to the federal government that he, in fact, did work for them. Now, there's a responsibility here he needs to own up to because sooner or later, we need somebody in the United States Senate that will stand up to communist China.
Now, look, I can tell you right now, I have never taken money from the Chinese Communist Party, from any entity that is operating in China, nor solicited any funds from any such company, nor have I ever asked for work from a Chinese company, nor have I ever had anything to do with it. It's very easy to answer. If you haven't got Chinese money in your background, it's very easy to say I've got nothing to do with the CCP and the PRC. Very, very easy to do. John Ossoff can't do that because he did, in fact, take money from a Chinese filmmaker that is owned and operated by a company owned and operated by the CCP. David Perdue is right. You couldn't vote for John Ossoff, Atlanta. Get out there, vote early for David Perdue. More coming up on these races when we return to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. When you're living on your knees, you rise up. Tell your brother that he's got to rise up. Tell your sister that she's got to rise up. When are these colonies going to rise up? Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, you got to rise up. I got to tell you, the best data point of the day yesterday for Republicans came from John Ralston, maybe the most respected political reporter, state-specific political reporter in America. And everyone is listening in Nevada right now, and I'm on from 3 to 6 in the morning in Nevada, which is when the strip gets going, right? That's when everyone goes home. John Ralston posted yesterday, Republicans are up in the rural voting by 30,000 ballots, nearly 28 percentage points above, right? Nearly 28 percentage points above, with half the vote in, above 2016. Trump won rural Nevada by 58,000 votes in 2016. I have said it could be as much as 70,000 this cycle. I may have underestimated. Now, John Ralston is among the most respected state-specific Nevada political reporters in the U.S. I point to this because if rural vote is doing this in Nevada, and it is, Ralston's not wrong, I expect the rural vote is doing it everywhere in the United States. So the question is, did pollsters adjust their models enough when it comes to rural voting? They blew it 4 years ago. Chuck Todd and others have told me that NBC and other places have adjusted. Did they adjust it enough? John Ralston is showing us an extraordinary turnout in Nevada. Now, I was going through the numbers. Tom Tillis' best number is up by 2 points. But I expect North Carolina rallies and the rural vote to help him over the finish line. Joni Ernst is up 1 in Iowa. It's a rural state. I think she's going to be fine. The best poll for John James in Michigan, the underdog African-American West Point graduate who flew Apache helicopters, a businessman, shows him up 2.2 points. It's a Trafalgar point poll. A lot of Democrats do not believe in Trafalgar. I think they are working very hard to get it right. Trump is leading in Michigan as well, and both tickets were in Michigan yesterday, and both tickets were in Nevada yesterday. That tells me a lot. Cory Gardner's best poll is he's down 8 points. He's joining me a little bit later in the program, I believe. We'll talk to him about he makes a comeback. Yeah, Cory Gardner just crucified Jack from Twitter yesterday. I'm going to play that in the next segment. Martha McSally is up 3 in Arizona in her best poll. Steve Daines is up 3 in the New York Times poll, which is great because the New York Times always favors Democrats. Jason Lewis in Minnesota is only down 1 in a Survey USA poll. You got to get out and vote in the Twin Cities. I told you to John Cornyn, Tom Cotton, Mitch McConnell, Dr. Marshall in Kansas, they're comfortably ahead like Lindsey Graham. So the Senate is so much better than it was a week ago, but only if Americans continue to turn out. And you find out where to turn out by going to, absolutely today, keepamericaamerica.com. By the way, we learned yesterday, we had a horrible story this morning. I hate to tell you this, but an Islamist killed 3 people in a French church in Nice with a knife, beheading one of them today. It just reminds us of the world we live in, why you need pro-defense Republicans running the Senate and Trump in the White House. Anonymous was revealed yesterday. It was great fun to watch because Anonymous turned out to be a low-level, dime-a-dozen political appointee whose name I honestly cannot remember as I sit here. I was underwhelmed yesterday. He's made a little noise before. I can't remember his name. And Donald Trump said this about him yesterday. Miles Taylor, I'm reminded in my ear, is his name. You'll never have heard about him. Donald Trump said this about Anonymous, cut number 11.
To show you how corrupt the Washington media is, I was just, and did you see this? This was just revealed. It was just revealed that, you know, Anonymous, you know, this Anonymous that everybody's been looking for, that law enforcement could have found early if they wanted to, but everybody was looking for Anonymous. Turned out to be a low-level staffer, a sleazebag, who's never worked in the White House. Anonymous was a nobody, a disgruntled employee who was quickly removed from his job a long time ago for...
All right, now stop there. I want you to understand why this is so unethical. Not only did the New York Times and Anonymous oversell the significance of this individual, the anonymity led to the moving of a friend of mine. Victoria Coates left the White House where she was invaluable on the staff and went to another agency because there was some concern she was anonymous. When people do this, they injure people's lives. They ruin other people's fortunes and futures. Now, Victoria's fine. She's doing great. But it injured her career. She loved being on the NSC. So I just got to tell you people, don't ever look up to anyone like this. Someone who makes money by pretending to be influential and they're not. It's disgraceful. He should leave town. I'll be right back with the latest on the market. Big sell-off yesterday. Big day coming today. Stay tuned.
Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of time a long, long time ago. Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I have been looking at these early voting numbers and the mail-in ballot numbers. I don't know how, I'm going to ask Chuck Todd this later, how any states can be called that allow mail-in ballot on Tuesday night. Now, I'm going to be hosting Salem's nationwide coverage on Tuesday night, and then I'm going to work for NBC from midnight to 4 a.m. And I know it's traditional. I've always loved it. I've done it for Salem since 2000, and I did it for NBC 2016. I'm doing it again in 2020. I love it. I love election night. But I honestly do not know how any state can be called. Yesterday, Supreme Court upheld a North Carolina ruling that mail-in ballots can be counted up to 6 days after the election, provided they are postmarked on election day. That doesn't bother me, by the way. None of this stuff bothers me. I do not believe that people are out there mailing in ballots late. I don't believe it. If it's not close, they can't cheat. And I think the rural vote's going to send Tom Tillis and David Perdue comfortably to reelection. And I believe the rural vote's going to put Susan Collins in, and the rural vote is going to propel Steve Daines to a big win and Martha McSally to a win. May get Cory Gardner back into the race. He's pretty significantly behind. We'll talk with Cory Gardner later. I believe it makes John James viable, very viable in Michigan, possibly the big upset special of the night. Jason Lewis in Minnesota is another upset special of the night. John Ralston's rural voting. But I just don't know how we're going to know. I want to prepare you for that. I don't know how we're going to know. I also want to prepare you for this. Yesterday, and this is brought to you by Birch Gold, HughGold.com. If you want to own precious metals, HughGold.com. Or you can text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747, and Birch Gold Group will send you all the information on transferring, I suggest, 10 to 25% of your IRA into precious metals or owning physical gold in a safety deposit box, not at home. You can buy physical gold from Birch Gold, or you can transfer your IRA or 401k via HughGold.com. So the market report is brought to you by HughGold.com. Yesterday was a slaughter on Wall Street. The Dow went down almost 1,000 points, or 3.4%. NASDAQ went down 426 points, 3.73. S&P went down 119, 3.53. Overseas this morning, England and Germany are both green. Gold is down to 1878, and the 10-year Treasury is at 0.78, and oil is at barely, well, it's not even at $36, it's at $35.99. COVID has people panicked. They're afraid the economy won't. Well, we're going to get a GDP number tomorrow or Monday. I don't know which day it comes in. I think it's tomorrow. And it's going to show that the economy is cooking. And I believe that there are huge winners and losers in this, but the overall economy is cooking. I just think that today, after the market closes, we're going to get returns, earnings from Amazon, the only stock I own. Everything else is mutual funds. Twitter, Facebook, Google, and Apple. Maybe Twitter doesn't report today. Maybe it's only Facebook, Apple, Amazon, and Google. And I think they're going to blow away the market because they are the winners in the great transition from brick and mortar to online. Walmart and Target is also in there. They're going to be big winners. And the cloud business. Microsoft had huge earnings. And so yesterday was the sell-off before the storm up. In my view, that's a prediction. I'm not a prophet nor the son of the prophet, and I don't invest beyond Amazon because I don't know enough. I spend my day reading about politics and government and history, and a lot of people spend their day reading about technical factors on the market and quarterly reports and research reports, and I realize I don't know what they know. So how in the world am I going to invest against them? On emotion? That's stupid. But mutual fund managers, they know what they're doing. But I have one great opinion. My great opinion is that Amazon is the company of the world. And so I invest in Amazon because I like to follow one stock. I read all the reports on one stock. I used to do it with Apple. I got out of Apple. I moved into Amazon because you're a layman like me. It's kind of fun to follow one stock. But when I'm digging down into these numbers, and Lindsey Graham plus 8, John James plus 2.2 in Trafalgar, Joni Ernst up 1, Martha McSally up 3 in Susquehanna, Steve Daines in Montana up 3 in the New York Times, Jason Lewis behind 1 in survey, Tom Cotton up 55 points, Dr. Marshall ahead comfortably in Kansas, McConnell running away in Kentucky, Cornyn running away in Texas, Lindsey Graham running away in South Carolina, Susan Collins neck and neck, down 4 in the Colby College poll, but I don't know how you poll a state with the funky voting that Maine has with the second choice preference. And then Susan Collins winning handily in the debate last night. And the rural vote mattering the way it does, as John Ralston pointed out in Nevada. That demonstrates what I do all day, right? I read politics, government, history, and for amusement. I had Dr. Al Mohler on today and Jerry Boyer on for a taped interview. I had to read their books yesterday. That's what I do. You can't cover the market. So you got to trust people who do, but you can trust gold. Birchgold.com. Now, I want to go to Ron Johnson with Fox Business yesterday, saying something to Maria Bartiromo that I wrote in the Post a week ago about Joe Biden and Tony Bobulinski, cut number one.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of special counsels, but if Joe Biden wins the presidency, I don't see how you avoid one. Otherwise, this is going to be, you know, tucked away. We will never know what happened. All this evidence is going to be buried. So I think we'd have to have a special election if Joe Biden wins.
The trouble with that is it will be immediately viewed as revenge. That's why it should be appointed now. I hope the attorney general appoints a special counsel now for the Biden family and the Tony Bobulinski allegations and the laptop. If it's not true, they're not true. But I remind you what I said yesterday. And by the way, lawyers are welcome to call 1-800-520-1234. I only want to hear from practicing lawyers what they think about Bobulinski and Biden's. If you follow the story, the only people I want to hear from are people who have a law license, and I will test you. I know how to figure it out. 1-800-520-1234. I have my theory of the case, which is Bobulinski was screwed by the Bidens, and this is a revenge move, but it's true. That's my theory of the case. It could be disproven if Joe Biden would answer a couple of questions, if Jim Biden would. Jim Biden came out of his house yesterday. I'm not going to tell you where he lives, but he came out of his house and some enterprising reporters were there and they shouted at him and he ran back inside. That's evidence. That's evidence. Very easy to walk over and say, I don't know Tony Bobulinski. I've never met him. It's like John Ossoff last night in Georgia. I've never taken money from the Chinese Communist Party. He could have just said that. It's like Susan Gideon in Maine could have just said, I'm against court packing the way that Susan Collins said. Can we play that again? I just love this because I love Susan. Susan Collins is smart. Boy, is she smart. Cut number seven. Cut number seven. 17.
Do you think the number of justices on the Supreme Court should change? Speaker Gideon, to you first.
Any proposal to change what the Supreme Court looks like, I will evaluate through this lens. Does it help us restore an independent judiciary? Right now, as I see the proposals come forward, I just see an argument between Democrats and Republicans that doesn't get us there.
Thank you, Senator.
Well, I'll give you a straightforward answer and not beat around the bush. The answer is I do not support increasing the size of the Supreme Court. As Ruth Bader Ginsburg says, 9 is a good number, and that's the number it's been since 1869.
Okay.
We should not pack the court.
Thank you.
I love that. We should not pack the court. Way to go, Senator Collins. Now, when I come back, I'm going to play Cory Gardner just taking Jack Dorsey to the cleaners yesterday, but Donald Trump made a point yesterday that I want you to hear. Cut number 8.
But I'm not just running against Joe Biden. I'm running against the left-wing mob and the left-wing media, the big tech giants. And I'm also running against the rhinos. Do you know what a rhino is? A rhino may be the lowest form of human life.
Just a little understatement by Donald Trump. Number 9, Donald Trump in Bullhead City.
It's a powerful party. And the party is totally joined with the fake news media, the lamestream media right there. And they're totally joined with the big tech. I don't know, Section 230. Does anyone know what Section 230 you do? Section 230, I think, wah. You know, tremendous corruption on behalf of the Biden. Tremendous. Do you know you can't find it anywhere in the media other than the New York Post, which I'm very proud of, and they endorsed me the other day, too, by the way. But you can't find it anywhere in the media, anywhere.
Right, you can't. You can't accept center-right media like me. I want to talk to you about Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm down to 2 days. 2 days left for you to help Alliance Defending Freedom. Their website is over at uhewitt.com. I need to raise about $5,000 today to do right by ADF. Larry Elder, my colleague, got a note from Dana. Hi, Larry. I have a message for the parents of college students. I'm the mother of 3 college students. I have another applying now for next fall. As you can imagine, our coffers are a bit low with all the tuition going out all the house. But we just gave to ADF. My sons and daughters have shared the real-life drama of being on campus as a conservative. And I can see how easily any of our conservative kids could have become targets of the left and end up in a court case. I just want to encourage all parents of college students to give to ADF now, please. We need to have each other's backs. college is expensive enough, but can you imagine paying for a defense lawyer against a university? We really can't afford not to help ADF defend the Constitution and perhaps even our own children. Thank you for highlighting the work ADF is doing for us. Dana, Southwest Washington State. Well, thank you, Dana. Because ADF is there for everyone. They represent their clients for free, and we need them. They've won 11 cases in the Supreme Court since 2010. Alliance Defending Freedom represents people for free because of donors like you. Can you please call right now, 866-359-9644, and give your best gift? Like I say, I'd like to raise $5,000, maybe even $50,000 a day. Maybe someone out there knows what ADF does. They've been meaning for years to step up. You know, if big tech would do one thing, simply support both left and right, if they gave cuts, you know, stroke those big checks, Michael Bloomberg, not just to the gun grabbers, but to the Alliance Defending Freedom, people would just say, okay, they're supporting free speech, but they don't. We need little people like you to make the best gift you can at Alliance Defending Freedom at HughHewitt.com. Come right back after the break. I got to play for you Corey Gardner and Jack Dorsey on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Coming up after the break, I'll be talking with Annette Biggers. She's an old friend, and they now have a new movie over at SalemNow.com called The Trump I Know. And it's just blown out expectations. People are watching it all over the country. Annette was the principal photographer for the show, and I've just known her forever. And I called her up and said, what in the world are you doing with this blockbuster success? And she will describe it for you. But it's over at SalemNow.com. And I recommend you go there right now and give it a whirl. The Trump I Know. It will, even if you're a left-wing Trump hater, it will explain to you these crowds, these immense, enormous crowds. Now, crowds are they're anecdotal evidence, and anecdotal evidence is evidence of anecdotes. Donald Trump can draw an enormous crowd, stadium-sized crowd. Joe Biden can, Kamala Harris can't. Doesn't tell you a thing about the voting. Tells you a lot about the energy of the Trump voters. It doesn't tell you how many there are. The Ralston data point, the 28,000 new rural voters, or I don't want to say no, new. There are 28,000 more rural votes in Nevada at this time this year than there was 4 years ago. 28%, make sure I get the data point correct. Because, you know, we got the pod boys out there. It used to be Media Matters Emo would dog me every day on something I said, but now it's the pod boys, the privileged pod boys who are, you know, they cause high school girls to faint. And I don't. Ralston report. First, Republicans are up in the rolls by 30,000 ballots, 28 percentage points with half the vote in. So there's this huge early rural vote, enormous in Nevada. I am extrapolating that if there is a huge early rural vote in Nevada, it's going to occur everywhere. And I think that's very, very, very good for Martha McSally in Arizona and Lindsey Graham in South Carolina and Susan Collins in Maine and Tom Tillis in North Carolina and David Perdue in Georgia. I think it's overwhelmingly good for Joni Ernst in Iowa. John James in Michigan is going to love that UP vote. Cory Gardner is going to look to the West Slope to make a come from behind win. Steve Daines is crushing it, obviously, in Montana. Jason Lewis is counting on you know, Duluth. All you folks up there in Duluth who are listening to me right now, you got to get out and vote for Jason Lewis, Dr. Marshall. The rural vote, if it turns out in unprecedented numbers, changes everything. What also changes people is they really do not like big media, big tech. Senator Cory Gardner on Commerce Committee with Jack Dorsey yesterday, who runs Twitter, tied him up. Here is that cut number two.
Mr. Dorsey, I'm going to direct these first questions to you. Mr. Dorsey, do you believe the Holocaust really happened, yes or no?
Yes.
So you would agree that someone who says the Holocaust may not have happened is spreading misinformation, yes or no?
Yes.
I appreciate your answers on this, but they surprise me and probably a lot of other Coloradans and Americans. After all, Iran's Ayatollah has done exactly this, questioning the Holocaust. And yet his tweets remain unflagged on Twitter's platform. You and I agree that moderating your platform makes sense in certain respects. We don't want the next terrorist finding inspiration on Twitter or any platform for that matter. But you've also decided to moderate certain content from influential world leaders, and I'd like to understand your decisions to do so a little bit better. Can you name any other instance of Twitter hiding or deleting a tweet from heads of state?
Not off the top of my head, but we have many examples across world leaders around the world.
Would you be willing to provide a list of those?
Absolutely.
I know we've established we agree content moderation can have certain upsides like combating terrorism, but Twitter has chosen to approach content moderation from the standpoint of combating misinformation as well. So it's strange to me that you've flagged the tweets from the president, but haven't hidden the Ayatollah's tweets on Holocaust denial or calls to wipe Israel off the map, and that you can't recall off the top of your head hidden or deleted tweets from other world leaders. I would appreciate that that list. I think it's important that we all hear that. So that brings my next question to the front. Does Twitter maintain a formal list of certain accounts that you actively monitor for misinformation?
No, and we don't have a policy against misinformation. We have a policy against misinformation in three categories, which are manipulated media, public health, specifically COVID, and civic integrity, election interference, and voter suppression. That is all we have policy on for misleading information. We do not have policy or enforcement for any other types of misleading information that you're mentioning.
So somebody denying the murder of millions of people or instigating violence against a country as a head of state is not categorically falling in any of those three misinformation or other categories Twitter has?
Not misinformation, but we do have other policies around incitement to violence, which may some of the tweets that you mentioned or the examples that you're mentioning may fall afoul of. But for misleading information, we're focused on those three categories only.
All right, let me stop here. This doesn't, we got to get rid of Section 230, because if you can't delete the Ayatollah Khamenei, who denies the Holocaust and incites violence against Israelis and Americans almost daily, then you don't deserve Section 230 protection. If you can't moderate that, no, you've got to live with the libel and slander laws of the United States without protection. You are not a public forum if you are moderating some and not all. You have violated content neutrality, and you're just got to live with the libel and slander laws of the United States. It is that simple. Goodbye, Section 230. Come right back, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.